Okay, we're live. Hi everyone. Guess what? It's tax season and I'm not usually very happy this time of the year because I am forced to look at my finances, especially my business finances. And I really don't like it because I can see, okay, I made so much money, but I also spent so much money. But I keep reading that you cannot manage and you cannot change what you don't see. So we just have to do we have to file our taxes. And also, you just have to take a look. Take your head out of the sand, right? Do you feel the same way about taxes and finances as I do? Well, join me because this week's video is for you. I'm going to be interviewing a good friend of mine. She had her head in the sand. She wasn't aware of her business finances, her family's finances, until it was almost too late. Oh, by the way, if you're listening and watching me for the first time, my name is Lexi Rodrigo. I am a digital marketing consultant and blog editor and lifelong learner, and I love to share what I learn with everybody who's interested. So today I brought along a friend of mine, as I mentioned. Her name is Imi Belanger, whom I have known, Imi, can you believe it, probably 10 years since I started online. And Imi, I have met her, I think, 2 times in real life. So we are both real life and online friends. And you are going to be meeting her in a few minutes. Before that, let me just go over some housekeeping. Okay, guys, make sure your audio is on. There's probably an audio icon in the corner of this video. Just click on that to make sure that you can hear us, all right? And get a paper and pen because Imi has a lot of good ideas for us. So take notes. And if you find this useful, please share this video with your other Facebook friends and family, all right? And finally, at any point throughout the interview, if you have a question, type them in the comments. And even if you're watching the recording, type your questions in the comments because I always go back and respond to questions. All right, so I think you're ready to meet my guest today. Imi Belanger, please introduce yourself. Okay, hang on, Imi, because somebody is telling me that they can't hear you. So, Rohi, can you hear me okay? Okay, Imi, I'm going to have you go to your Skype, go to Skype preferences. And then click on audio video. So click on Skype in the upper left where it says Skype. On the very top there's Skype. Click on the word Skype and then you should see preferences under that. When you click on that, okay, maybe click on settings. Maybe it looks different on your end. Did you find preferences? So settings, click on settings. But you do see Skype, right? You're on an iMacBook Air, right? So on top there's the Apple, and beside that the Skype. Click on Skype. What happens when you click on Skype? I can see you and I can hear you, so I'm wondering why our viewers can't hear you. Let's see if that's something on my end. Can you see? Are your microphone? They're good? Okay, guys, so this is what we're gonna. So they can see you, but they can't hear you. I can hear you. Options. Now, this is when we don't like technology. Okay, let's try. Can you try to speak now?
You can hear me? Can you hear me?
Okay. Rohi, can you hear Emmy now?
Can you hear me? It could also be at their end.
Okay, I noticed something wrong because on my sound level, Skype is not showing up. All right, guys, so sorry about this. Oh, Rohi, now you can hear Amy?
Amy, can you hear me now?
Now they're hearing you. Okay, let's go do this.
Awesome.
All right, Amy, so
let's, what was it?
I have no idea, but I just removed my headphones, which means we might get feedback.
All right.
Anyways, so Amy, going back to the interview, tell us about the time when you discovered that you and your husband were deep in debt and that his car was going to be repossessed or had already been repossessed?
Oh, that was, I think it was in the late 80s. And back then, I didn't have any financial education, and I think most people don't really have a lot of, because they don't teach that in school, right? So one day, two people showed up from Revenue Canada. You know, the gray suits, you've seen them in movies probably, but I've never seen them. And they showed up at my door and they said they were looking for my husband. And I said, why? And they told me about the tax we owed. And then they looked at, they were asking for our car. And I said, why would you be looking for our car? And then I figured that would be, they would take it as a payment possibly for our unpaid taxes.
So for the benefit of the non-Canadians, Canada Revenue is our version of the IRS.
Yeah.
The Internal Revenue Service. Continue. Sorry.
Yeah. So after that really scared me because I just had a baby and I was at home looking after the baby and off work, of course. So I find our finances weren't in a good position. So that really scared me. And so at that time, I wasn't, I wasn't aware of all the services that are available for people. And so I went to the library and read all the books I could find on finances. And I went back home and I said to my husband, I said, look, we need to do something about it. And I basically put our finances in dictatorship. I said, okay, we made this much and we need to spend only this much. And that was the beginning of my journey and my financial education.
So tell me, Amy, how did this not wreck your marriage?
Well, we fought, of course. I blamed him because I thought he knew what he was doing, and he blamed me because he thought, you know, I thought you're smarter than I. I think I just go out and work most of the time. So we were blaming each other, and I also realized that we were both ignorant as far as finances was concerned. And I was more, because I was at home at the time, I said, I will be the one that is going to learn everything about finances. You go to work and I'll learn everything about finances, and I'm going to be the financial advisor for our household. And I took that responsibility.
So you had debt, right? Now, do you believe that there's good debt and bad debt, or is all debt bad?
Well, after educating myself, I realized that there are good debts. But back then, all our debts were bad. They were all retail and Revenue Canada, because I didn't even know that we had to file taxes on time. And there were a lot of penalties, of course. And a lot of the debts that we incurred at that time were from retails.
So consumer debt.
Yeah, consumer debt. So later on, after I get educated, I realized that, you know, we need to invest on RSP, which is a retirement fund, and we need to create some buffer for when our business slows down in January or February. And so there were investments debts that I started to look into. So definitely not all debts are bad.
So can you give an example of good debt? For example, my daughter graduated from university last year and she has OSAP, which is the Ontario Student Assistant Program. So she has student debt. Is that good debt?
I think in some circumstances that's a good, because my son had some debts too, and because you normally don't get to start paying off until you found a job, right? And there are also a lot of, grants for students. So that is one way to get yourself an education. But if you don't plan out and really figure out how you're going to pay that back, it can really pull you down, and it can really give some a lot of stress. Instead of you looking for a job, you're like really worried about your finances and that debt.
Right. So now let's go through your 10 steps. So what are the 10 steps that you went through to get your family out of that bad situation?
Yeah, so the first thing I think I wrote, I'm just looking at my blog post at the time. So stop the bleeding is the number one.
What do you mean?
You really need to just stop making it worse.
Okay.
You take all your credit cards, put them in the freezer, pack them up. Just stop. You assess the damage and you need to stop.
So stop the unnecessary spending.
Yeah. Because you just need to, first of all, take full responsibility and say, okay, we are in debt and we need to do something about it. That first step can really set you up for the next one. And the next one is assess the damage and create a plan. The key thing that I learned is you can't really create a plan if you don't know anything about finances. So you really have to educate yourself. Go to the library. There are a lot of free books that you can take out from your library. Of course, Google. Now, there was no Google at the time for me, so it was the library. But for now, I think you can Google, pretty much Google anything. And once you learn what you need to do for your situation, you make a plan and you make a strategy.
Okay.
And number two is set your debt-free target date, I mean.
Okay.
So at that time, I think we were in debt for about 15,000, 20,000. And I said to my husband, I said, okay, we, based on our income, we can be debt-free within a year. So I had to negotiate all our debts, call up the creditors and negotiate our debts so I can lower the our debts.
So when you say negotiate, did you ask for lower interest rates or to write off the debt?
In some cases, the interest rate could be negotiated, but mostly it's the penalties. They can either take off the penalties for you, especially with government debt. They are flexible that way. Back then I negotiated to cut our debt in half. I think one was a retail store, and I asked, look, I only have 5,000, and, you know, I mean, I only have a certain amount of money. I don't exactly remember the exact figure, but I said, I have this amount of money and I can give that to you. So would you take that to cancel all my debts? One retailer did that, and I was really happy for that.
Yeah.
And that's the main thing. And then after that, you can look at trimming the fat. At that time, that's when I cut off our cable.
Wait, is this the next step?
Yeah.
Okay, trim the fat. Okay.
Yeah. And that's when I cut our cable. I said, we really don't need TV. And the funny thing happened, my son started to go to the library because we didn't have computers at that time, right? We just had TV. So he would go to the library and watch TV there. And, of course, you only have a certain amount of time in the library. So he watched TV and he would also study and do things at the library and really play with other kids in the library. So that was good. So there are a lot of things that you can definitely trim and cut out, like, you know, coffee perhaps. Make your own coffee, make your own lunch. So there's a lot of things. I know there's a lot of things you can do. And then change your habits.
I have a question. A question,
yes,
for you, Amy. While you're paying off debt, should you be setting aside money in savings as well, or should you put all your extra money towards paying that debt?
That's a very good question, because I struggled at the time trying to do that. I put a little bit of money aside for emergencies. That's a, you know, I read from the books that I should do that. But then if your interest is so high, that savings sitting on there doesn't really make sense to have some savings while you're losing money. At that time, we had a credit card that was with about 19% interest.
Whoa.
That's really crazy, right? And if you have savings that is earning 0.25, it doesn't really make sense to have that debt and have some money in the bank. So you would have to assess that, what is best.
Yeah, I think you would still need some kind of an emergency fund, right? For emergency.
Ideally, that's what you should be working towards.
Yeah.
But again, if you owe $2,000 in credit card that you're paying $200 a month in interest alone, it won't make sense to have 2,000 in savings, emergency savings. I would personally use that 2,000 to pay off the credit card or lower the credit card, and then use the credit card as an emergency if you really need to.
Okay.
You know, have an emergency situation. I would do that because it would, I think it would make better sense that way.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So next step, where are we? Step number?
We are on the stay away from temptations now. I think change your mindset and habits.
Okay, this is number what? Step number?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 5.
5, okay. Change your habits and mindset.
Actually, I'm sorry, what's number 6? Change your habits and mindset. Again, if you don't educate yourself, you can't really change your mindset. Okay. Education was a big thing for me, and it still is. I learned a lot, and I also learned that your income is not necessarily the reason you're in that in financial trouble. Most of the times it's because we can't really handle the income that we're making. So whether you're making a lot of money or very little, it really depends on how you handle your debt and your mindset. So you need to figure it out and educate yourself to really change that mindset and habits. And from my experience, the more I educate myself, the better the habits I created, the better habits I had. I created envelopes for our groceries, for entertainment, for movies, and when the envelope is empty, we can't go to the movies. And that was it for the month. And I would check out how much more money we have for the week. And if the envelope is getting emptier, I said, look, we're going to be eating just rice and beans.
Okay. That was easy for you. You know, that was easy for you to say because your kids back then were little. They were not teenagers.
Oh, no. They had, like, we... There's McDonald's everywhere, and we used to live in an area where there's a lot of corner stores.
Yeah.
Did I just lose you?
No, I'm here.
There were corner stores, so my son would just go to the corner stores every time he has some money. So it's not it wasn't easy back then.
Okay.
So yes, change your mindset and habits. Once I promise you though, once you start creating some habits for you and your family, gets easier.
Okay. You mentioned several times the importance of financial education. What are some of the books that you would recommend? Because I think books would be the cheapest way to get educated. You can borrow them from the library for free, so you don't have to spend again in order to educate yourself. What are some of these books?
The first book that I read was The Wealthy Barber. I forgot the author. And then the second book I read was The Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yeah.
That really changed my mindset, the Rich Dad, Poor Dad, because I learned to invest. I started thinking about growing my money. When I started thinking about investment and how to where I would invest my money, my focus wasn't in getting out of debt particularly, but in growing my money. But of course, you can't grow money if you don't have the money, right? So at the same time, it changed the focus from trying to reduce debt to expansion. And I think that was a big thing for me. I started thinking big. Because when you just focus on debt, it can be depressing. You know, I only have to spend this much, and we only have this much, and it is depressing. But when you focus on creating more wealth, then you have a different mindset. you really getting smarter at this point, because in your ideas you are getting bigger.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. So next step?
Oh, and the next step is stay away from temptations. As a young mother at the time, I loved the malls. Especially in the summer, I would bring my kids to the mall, and we would spend a lot of time in the mall. And it's really a temptation, because when you go to the mall, you start spending a lot more than you wish you could. Because the kids are gonna cry if they're not gonna have toys, or if they're not gonna have a snack. And by the time you leave the mall, you know you spend more than you should have.
And you see all the sales, and you think, it's such a good deal. I'm gonna save money.
I know. It's like, how can you resist a sale? 70% off. So I learned to just stay out of the mall and go and take my kids to the park instead during the summer, the warmer months, the parks, and we would just travel all over the place instead of going to the mall.
And now it's harder because there's online shopping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just don't do it. Just don't go to Amazon or whatever else online stores are tempting.
I know, because sometimes you're just, okay, I just need to browse. I just need to check something out. And there's a lot of good things, right? So it's tempting. So if you can discipline yourself to avoid that temptation, then you'll be on your way to being debt free. The second thing is sell your excess and use it to pay some of your debts. And I love this. I had garage sales. I sold them through forums. Back then we didn't have Kijiji back then.
Kijiji is the Canadian Craigslist.
Yeah. Even we still have. We also can access Craigslist.
Yeah, we have.
Right?
There's also Canadian Craigslist.
Yeah. Crisis. So, and now there's Facebook.
Yeah.
So there's really no reason. But I think there are a lot of garage. There are a lot of apps where you can actually sell all kinds of stuff online. So.
So what are some of the things that you sold?
Back then I was. My kids were growing too fast, and I had, they go through a lot of clothing and toys that my relatives would give them, right? And that's what I sold. I sold their toys on garage sales and forums, clothing, jeans, because they go through so much clothes.
So you sold all those things you bought at the mall.
Yeah.
Okay, at least they weren't a total loss.
I had to do what I had to do. I even sold some of my husband's tools that he wasn't using. Because sometimes you buy something that you never really use them, right? So I sold some of the stuff. Anything I could find that wasn't of value to us anymore, I sold them.
So use it or lose it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also got together with a lot of moms who wasn't as sales, I guess, so sales, what would be the word, wasn't excited of selling things. And I said, look, I'll get all your stuff, I'll sell them for you, and I'll keep some commissions.
Ah, you really are a businesswoman.
So I did that too.
That was a great idea. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And there are even second, like, consignment stores. There were consignment stores at that time too, so you can also bring your stuff to a consignment store if you don't want to bother with all the transactions that you need to do. posting them up online and whatnot, there are a lot of consignment stores.
Right.
So you can do that. And the next one is figure out an extra source of income.
Okay.
Because no matter what happens, you still need to make more money. And as you expand your knowledge, your financial knowledge and investment knowledge, you know, you realize that you need to make more money. So ideally, you should have three sources of income.
Oh, did you say three?
Okay. Minimally.
Wow. Oh, wow. Minimum. Okay. So what did you do? What new sources of income did you create?
I'm always selling something, one thing or another. I was selling Avon. I sold Avon while I was at home with my kids. I sold Tupperware. I sold vitamins. And then I sold stuff from other people as well. So that was an income, an extra income for us. And then later on, when I got my license as a financial advisor, I worked as a financial advisor while selling some products as well. So as long as it's not competing to one another, then you can do that.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, that's number. Where are we?
Number nine. And I think it's easier to do that online now, right?
Oh,
and
yeah, absolutely.
You have multiple sources of income too.
I know. Yes, I do. But I only have two. Right?
Oh, really? I thought you have more than that.
You have
affiliates. I know. I'm getting affiliates from you.
Yeah, affiliate marketing. Yeah. I guess you could consider that to be separate from. Well, I have a day job. Yeah. I have clients that I write for, so I have my freelancing. And yeah, I guess affiliate marketing could be considered a separate source of income. You're correct. So I have the three minimum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so are we at number 10 now?
Number 10, review and assess your progress monthly. And okay. This is really important because when you don't do it, it can really be depressing. Because you're always trying to save, you cut coupons, you're look for sales, and it can be really depressing. So when you assess your do your monthly planning, pat yourself in the back for if you made some progress. You celebrate. You go out, go to a restaurant. I really tell friends to go to a restaurant and celebrate. Doesn't have to be a $50 meal, but go out and celebrate your wins, because that will motivate you more to keep saving and keep paying off your debts.
Okay, just a small celebration, nothing too expensive. And you shouldn't charge that meal, that celebration, right?
Yes, you should. In your planning, I tell people, in your planning, you also have to set aside for entertainment. Mm. Because it is going to help you in your journey to celebrate that and to spend time with your family and really create some little luxuries for you. I'm all for luxury, right? I can't live without little things here and there, because it's otherwise what are you working for? That's important, because they'll keep you going and they'll keep you motivated to make more money, to save more money, and to enjoy life.
Right, because I know that there are people who embrace a very simple lifestyle where they really cut down on expenses, they save on everything, and to be honest, I tried that, and I was miserable. So I like what you're saying.
I want to share a story with you. I was studying a course with a millionaire, and we were in a module. We were studying about collecting and making sure your receivable are coming in. Don't let all the debts pile up, and you know you need to collect. Keep those collections coming. And so this guy had a collectible of over 15,000. He loaned some monies to people, and they promised to pay him back, and they weren't paying. So I said, okay, so what are you going to do with this collection stuff? You need to collect. You need to assign people to collect for you, or you need to pick up the phone and start collecting from these people. And he said, you know, I don't like collecting, because if I loan the money, they're supposed to just give me back my money. That was the agreement. So if I have to spend my time, my productive time, collecting these debts and collecting this money, instead of creating and making money, that's just not effective. So I'm not gonna do that. And I said, but that's $15,000. And he goes, yeah, but I can make $500,000 in 2 hours if I really focus. So what's $15,000? So that really like kind of shook my mindset there a little bit. Because when we spent so much time and effort on things that are not really fun, then we're taking ourselves away from creating more wealth. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I just had to pause and let that sink in.
Because I don't like coupon clipping.
Yep, same here.
I don't. I mean, okay, I'd rather not buy stuff than coupon clipping. Because to me, it's time consuming. But I did coupon clipping at the time, and I realized, okay, this is time consuming. If I save $1.50 on something, instead of going out and selling something and making $250, it's like no brainer. I'd rather go out, have some fun, and sell something rather than sitting down and trying to clip some coupons
to save a dollar.
$1.50.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes, you know what I mean? So you gotta really be smart about that.
Yep.
But some people do. I've met some ladies who love coupon clipping. So it's I think it's individual, but yep. You know, to each their own kind of thing, right?
Yep, absolutely. So what other questions do I have for you? So what are some of the ways what are the other ways that you reward yourself with? Can you think of any that doesn't involve spending money?
I like going. I'm a travel person, right? I love traveling. So if I have a day off, I would just take the bus and just go everywhere. I used to do that with my kids, and they loved it. There are a lot of free entertainment in the city. That's why I'm in Toronto. I love the city. There are a lot of free stuff that you can bring your kids to and yourselves. The Art Gallery of Ontario, for example, they have every Wednesday, I think. It's less money. I haven't checked recently. But I love going out to see art shows, concerts, stuff like that.
Yeah, so it doesn't have to be a lot of money, absolutely.
Exactly.
Cool. And with the weather warming up in spring and summer, every weekend there's something happening, right? And it's usually either free or not expensive at all.
Oh yeah, there's not a lack of things to do in the city if you really you really want to look for it. There's a gazillion things that you can go to and have fun without spending a lot of money. But I want to share something that I think it's really, really important. I know I've shared a lot already, but here's the thing that I learned that I forgot to mention is that you really have to not spend money you don't have. Do not spend money you don't have. If you take that phrase and put it on your wall, it'll stick. Do not spend money you don't have. Make it, and then the second thing is make it before you spend it. I used to go shopping because I know I'm going to get paid on Friday.
Okay.
And I can use my card to pay for something because it's on sale and I can't wait. And then when I get paid on Friday, I'll pay it. But of course, come Friday, I spend the money somewhere else.
Wait, so you would spend it, you'd go shopping on Thursday?
Whenever the sale was.
Because you knew on Friday you were going to get some money.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people go through that where they're expecting money, so they spend it.
Right. I'm guilty of that.
I wrote this thing on our wall. It said, do not spend money you don't have. Make it before you spend it.
I'm going to do the same thing. I do it. I do the same thing too. Like, I know I'm going to collect from one of my clients. So I see this nice online course and I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to have money to pay for this. So I'm going to enroll in the course. So I was spending the money before I actually had it in my hands. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really, that was a game changer for me. It really was. It's like, even now I have it in my head. Whenever I see something on online, I know we buy courses online as well. And I said, well, I'm going to get paid on Friday, or I have this client and I'm going to send an invoice and I'm going to get paid. So I have that covered. But then I look at my wall and it says, make it before you spend it. You don't really have that money. You don't have that money. So you can't spend it because you don't have it. So you have to have it before you spend it. I keep repeating it to myself until it really sinks in and it's like it's there. It's like a nightmare. Like, make it before you spend it. Don't spend the money you don't have. And it's funny because my kids now have that concept. Because it's like, okay, well, let's go to a restaurant. I said, well, who's going to pay for it? Well, he has money, he has credit cards. Like, no, you have to make it before you spend it.
Wow. If there's one thing, guys, the ones who are watching, there's one thing you can learn from this interview, I think it's that.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Amy, there's a question here from Kim. Would it make sense to pay for life insurance offered by the bank?
It depends.
Okay.
Most of the times, because I was trained as an insurance, I had my license. You have to really look at the plan and the benefits and the costs. Most of the times, the bank offers a higher rate. So,
by really, rate, what do you mean by rate? Like your premium is higher?
Yeah. And you really there's a book. I think I told you about the book. It's this one.
Okay.
Financial Freedom Without Sacrifice. I love this book.
Okay.
Really make it.
I'm ordering that from Amazon.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's like really.
And don't worry, I have the money. I made the money already. Okay.
That's good. Because when you're paying for insurance, you're paying for that insurance, and oftentimes there's a savings and insurance component. So it's either term or whole life. So you also check on that and really figure out, does it make sense to pay this much?
Also, I think if you have dependents, if you have a spouse, children who depend on your income, I think it is very important to have life insurance. Do you agree?
If you don't have the money to pay in...
If you passed away and you, for example, have a mortgage and all of a sudden they would not be able to pay for that without your income, then they would need you to have life insurance. But you don't have to necessarily get it from the bank, right? Like you should probably shop around and see where you can get the best insurance product.
Yeah, you definitely need to shop around because there are different products that have a lot of things inside it.
Yeah, for sure.
And you could be paying for many things inside a product. That you don't need.
Right.
So the more you educate yourself in that aspect, you'll be able to decide to make better decisions once you know more about it. But personally, I had term insurance for my family until we had paid off all our debts, and then had some assets. And now my kids, my youngest is 18. I canceled our insurance when she was 16 because I don't need any more insurance. Because insurance really is for that eventuality, and you need money to support everything, right? But when you are investing and making more money, and you have investment to cover all those things that might happen, then you don't need insurance. But that's me personally. Don't take that as an advice, because we all have different
situations. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So Kim, we can't really completely answer that question without knowing more about you. But definitely shop around and probably consult with a life insurance broker to assess your needs. All right. Any more questions? Let me just go through the comments. So Rohi, just summarizing what we have been saying here, make money before you spend it. Don't spend money you don't have. So guys, any other questions for Amy, just type them in the comments, even if you're watching the recording. And if I can't answer it, I will ping Amy to post her answers in the questions. So Kim is saying thank you. You're welcome, Kim. I hope this has been helpful. I think Kim, I combined Kim and Amy. I think Kim is a new graduate as well and is probably thinking about her student loans. So guys, if you want to learn more, please go.
Can I share one more thing?
Yes, please.
I just saw that on my post. There's, aside from the quote that I share with you, there are three things that I think is really, really important if you want to get out of debt and build wealth. One is knowledge. We already went over that. And number two is take full responsibility. Full responsibility. You own it. You need to own your debts, and you need to own your financial situation.
Okay.
And secondly is control. One of the things that I learned is you can't really control something that you have no knowledge of. Do you agree?
Absolutely. And that's why I said,
yeah,
even though I don't like to look at my finances, I know I have to do it. Otherwise, I won't be able to control it.
Exactly. So it's like you control, responsibility, and knowledge. These all, it's like a triangle. They all go hand in hand. You can't take responsibility for something you have no knowledge of, and you can't control something that you can't take responsibility or have no knowledge of. So these three things, control, knowledge, and responsibility, are like the triangle that and the pillar of your financial health and wealth.
Very nice. So, Imi, where can our viewers go to learn more about you and from you?
My website is imibelanger.com. I am a sales coach and strategist. So I have some sales courses, and I also do consult. But because we're talking of finances, I just started a group called Money Makeover Movement, because I just love discussing money, and because of my earlier background, I always get these questions from people. And I said, I tell them I'm not in that business anymore, but I do have ideas, and it's part of our business. It's part of our business, and it's part of our lives, so you can't really avoid not discussing money. So I love money. I love discussing it, and I love helping people in that. So I do have a Facebook group that they can join in, and we can continue the discussions there.
And we love to make money, right?
You need to make money, keep money, and grow money.
Oh, I like that. So, guys, join Imi in her Facebook group. I'll be joining. It's called Money Makeover Movement. Yeah. So we will see you there. Thank you very much, Imi. And check out the books that Imi recommended. I will post links to Imi's group in the description of this video and in the comments so you guys don't get lost. I hope that you and Imi will join us in that group. Imi, thank you again. And any last words of wisdom before I let you go?
I think I talk too much now. But the key thing, like I said, is the control, responsibility, and knowledge. And when you learn more more about finances, personal finances, you really can't help but take control of it and have fun with it, because it's fun. It's not something that used to scare me a lot, because I'm not a math genius. I flunked math. I had a hard time with math. But when you know the principles of money, because it's also part of the attraction, the abundance law, you have to know the principles to be able to use it for your benefits.
So guys, even if you flunked math, you have no excuse, okay, not to be in control of your finances. Thank you again. Thank you to everyone who joined us. And thank you, Imi. And everyone, oh no, I was going to say come back next week on Wednesday, but I will actually be traveling on Wednesday. I might move my video presentation to Tuesday. I haven't made up my mind yet, but I will keep you posted. So, guys, enjoy the rest of your Wednesday and the rest of your week. Thank you again for joining Imi and I. And if you have any questions, remember to post them in the comments. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye.